Welcome to It's Pretty Personal, a podcast all about sharing South Asian stories. Hi, how are you? Me? Honestly, my week has been so up and down. It's basically been what the weather is currently in the UK, which is sunshine and showers. Like, can we take a moment to think that it's May? Well, the end of May, and it's still damn raining. Like, I swear, this weather has more mood swings than me on my period. Like, the UK, you're really not helping yourself by living up to the stereotype of always being rainy. And I'm one of those people whose mood is very weather dependent. So when things are gloomy, I feel like it's a lot harder to motivate myself and get on with things. Whilst when it's sunny, you better believe that I am waking up as the main character in my own movie, dancing around my room and ready to seize the day. Did I also just go on a rant about the weather like a typical normal person that has nothing better to say than to talk about the weather? Anyways, that is not what I'm here to say. I'm here to tell you that today's episode is something I'm super, super excited for because it touches on so much and we go deep talking about finding our purpose. I'm joined by Shivani, a poet from London. Fun fact, Shivani actually listens to the podcast and I love that. Through social media, we've become friends and I always wonder like how many people have made friendships with people that they'd never met before. It's like a modern day pen pal situation. One of the key things we talk about is the fact that as South Asians, we're sometimes put into a box and labeled, especially when it comes to our careers. And although a lot of us growing up wanted to go into creative fields and we were really creative kids, we ended up going into a more analytical or corporate career. I've also started putting timestamps down below of all the different parts of the conversation. So if you're curious to see what we talk about, then you can definitely check on there. But also just listen to the whole episode. It's so damn good. I've linked Shivani's social media links down below, so definitely check those out. And also don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast if you're new. Write a 5-star review if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, because honestly, reviews really do help podcasts grow. Like, I can't stress that enough. So please support and follow the podcast on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Pretty Personal. Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of It's Pretty Personal. This week, I actually have a really, really special guest. I think we met over Instagram, actually, and then we've just connected ever since. Her name is Shivani, and I'm going to let Shivani introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shivani. I am poetry writer in my spare time.
Shivani actually posts a lot of poems on her Instagram. That's kind of how I found her. And some of the stuff that you talk about is I really, really relate to as well. Today's episode is all about creative writing and finding your purpose, which is actually something that we added in like a couple of days ago, because I remember I had this conversation with you around purpose and we were like, what does it even mean? So that's something we're going to delve into later on in the episode. But before we get started, something that I always do with every single guest that comes onto the podcast is that I want the people listening to know a little bit more about you. So I have a few icebreaker questions. I want to know, what is the one thing that you want to learn more about?
Oh, that's such a good question and a really difficult one. For me, I'm always like trying to understand people more. I'm always like trying to dive into a person and like understand them more. And that includes myself as well. Like, you know, diving into myself, that's really where my writing comes from. But I don't find anything as interesting in this world as people. You know, when you see a person diving into their story and where they come from and what they've been through and how they've got there, that's just amazing for me. I'd love to know more about people. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
That's so true. Like, I don't know if you do this, but like every single time I like go on the tube and you're just sat next to all these random people, and I always sometimes wonder, I'm like, what is this person's story? Because everyone has a story. And I think that's the beauty of people and life, is that it's a story.
I absolutely do that, sitting on the tube, wondering. I even make up stories about them myself. I'm like, oh, they probably had porridge for breakfast. Some random things.
Could you imagine if you went up to someone and said, did you have porridge for breakfast? And they're like, yeah, I did.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
The next question is, what makes you smile?
You know what? I'm an absolute sucker for my nieces and nephews. They are so sweet. They're, you know, 11, 6, 4 and 3. Yeah, they're just so cute. Anytime I'm not having a good day, they really just make me smile, brighten up my day. Shout out to my nieces and nephews on that one.
But the next one is, what is one thing that's happened today that you're grateful for?
So I love starting my day with a morning walk. That's just my thing. And today I looked outside and it was a bit cloudy. And so I was like, okay, it might rain, but I'm still going to go for my walk. It's not raining yet. I can do this. I geared up. I wore my raincoat. I even like put a little pocket umbrella in my pocket, went for a walk, and it actually didn't rain. So I'm grateful for the fact that it didn't rain.
That's great. To be honest, I woke up this morning. I saw it was gloomy and I was like, nope, not going out today. You did so much better than me. Do you know the one thing that I'm grateful for today is the anti-back wipes. So you know those wipes that you just get in a packet and you can like clean surfaces and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
They're so much better than the spray stuff. Thank you to whoever created that. Like, that is just needed.
Yes, those are great.
The next one is, if you can fix one problem in society, what would it be?
Wow.
That is a very big question. And I know you might have multiple ones, but if you had to pick one.
Wow, we're really going to get into it now, aren't we?
We really are.
I think about a lot of what I think is wrong with society, or, you know, how we can improve society. And I've come to the conclusion that the way in which our governments measure well-being is so distorted that it kind of distorts every single system we have in society. So I'm going to summarize this massively because, you know, we need to get on to other things. But so, you know, the way a government will measure the well-being of its people is GDP per capita, which is basically the amount of money a country makes divided by the number of people in that country. So the average amount of money per person, that, you know, that's what they equate as well-being. But that is such a bad way of measuring well-being. There's so many problems with that. Number one being, it doesn't look at distribution. So there might be, you know, 10 billionaires in that country and everyone else is really poor. It doesn't take that into account. It just takes the average. And on top of that, you know, incentivizes the country to keep maximizing the amount of money it's making, which is reflected in all our macroeconomic systems. So for example, infrastructure. Infrastructure is, you know, our roads, how we transport things. The way we build stuff is so damaging to the environment. You know, the way we use things and natural resources, it's incentivizing us to not care that much for the environment as we should do. Our school systems. Oh man, I could talk about our school systems for days. I won't subject you to that. Don't worry. But basically, like, I don't think our education systems are fit for purpose. We are trying to squeeze each child into a square mold that's going to be pushed out the end of their education and become someone who's going to add money to the economy, not value money. So doctors, lawyers, accountants, that's what our school system's trying to create. Creativity in schools is totally undervalued and there's not enough of it. And then our healthcare system is curative, not preventative. We try to cure disease once it's there. We don't actually look to prevent it from happening. This is the one thing I would fix in society, how we incentivize all our macroeconomic systems to work.
That's so true. The healthcare thing, I was like, damn, that is so true. Because obviously COVID and everyone's literally like, oh my God, we don't know what to do. And everyone's like freaking out. But then was there never a clue that COVID would have ever happened if they ever put the research in it? I don't know. It is very true. And I think recently, I used to be so into politics as a kid. And the older I got, the more I was like, it's too much because it just annoys me to the point where I just get really frustrated with things. And even now, like, I've just stopped watching the news, but I will see stuff on Twitter and I'm literally there like, you actually just see us as a cog in your country. I don't feel like we're treated as humans sometimes.
100%.
And it's so horrible. Like, everyone should feel human, like, whether that be in your country, in your school, in your place of work. The one thing that unites us is humanity, right? That comes before any man-made stuff like money or whatever. But it's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really sad. I wouldn't even call it an individual person's fault. It's actually just the way our systems are set up and society is set up. So yeah, if we change the incentive, we'll change the things that our governments are working towards and therefore, you know, lead to bigger change.
Definitely. And final question is, if you can write a book, what would it be about?
Oh my Lord, that is such a great question. The books I tend to love are books about a world we could never imagine. So the writer has taken you into another world and it's just super creative and, you know, fantasy world. I would love to be able to have that level of skill of transporting someone reading my book into another world and experiencing that world.
I like that. That's like Harry Potter to me. It's like a brand new world. And I'm like, I want to be in Harry Potter. I want to go to Hogwarts.
I'm still waiting for my letter.
Yeah, genuinely. I'm still waiting for my letter. Like, Dumbledore, where you at? And I know that one of the things that we actually wanted to talk about today was creative writing. And I kind of just want to hear your personal story and how you got into writing in the first place.
Ah, okay. So when I was really young, I actually grew up in Kenya. I lived in Kenya until I was 13 years old. So my childhood was like in Africa. And when I was really young, I was such a bookworm. I was obsessed with reading, like literally obsessed. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to read books all the time. But parallel to that, I also loved creative writing. So, you know, I would read something and then just be so inspired by it. I'd go and write my own version of it. Or I even remember this so clearly. I was in year four, so I was like 9 years old, and we had our English literature test. The test was basically to write a story. And I was writing my story, and they weren't that strict with timings. It was meant to be like a 1 hour test, whatever. Everyone had finished their paper and gone, and it was like lunchtime. And I was like, oh, I just need to finish this like last bit. And I kept writing for half an hour more. And my teacher literally had to rip the paper from me. She's like, that's enough. I just couldn't stop writing. I just loved it. It was an exam and I was extending the time of my exam. That's how much I loved it. So it was just something that came very naturally to me and something that just brought me so much joy and I loved it. And then at 13, I moved to the UK. I think being 13 in itself is complicated. You know, you're hitting that age where you're kind of becoming a teenager and it's just, you know, a funny time for everyone. Everyone knows it, they've been there. Adding, you know, moving country to the mix, adding going to a school where my school was predominantly white people and I looked obviously quite different to everyone else. Adding the fact that I had an accent on top of that, all these different things just massively knocked my confidence, not only with writing in English, but just generally, I found the adjustment pretty difficult. Throughout school, I was a good student. I was pretty good at all subjects, but I didn't feel confident with English and English writing. And so I started to gravitate more towards like the mathsy, economicsy type stuff. So in GCSEs, I picked more like economics, business studies. My A-levels, I did business, economics, Spanish. I didn't choose English literature. Another thing about English literature at school, I just couldn't connect with the things that we were doing. So we read Pride and Prejudice, which is obviously an absolutely amazing book, but I just couldn't connect with it or relate to it on a personal level. The poetry we read was like about potato famines, God knows what, and like just things I didn't find relatable or interesting at all. So it was the move from Kenya, feeling out of place, feeling a bit uncomfortable. Then on top of that, you know, I feel like my education in English and English literature didn't inspire me or make me want to pursue that. And so I started to gravitate away from it and move more towards maths and economics. And then I went on to study economics at university and eventually became a chartered accountant. Super different from, you know, what I used to love naturally.
But then it's really nice that you actually got to like start your Instagram page and start that kind of hobby on the side. And it's obviously resonating with so many people as well.
Yeah. You know what? The Instagram page has just become something I didn't expect it to become. In 2019, I started doing writing workshops, creative writing workshops just for fun. And the first one I attended, I actually just attended because they were handing out free cake at this workshop, like really random. Going through those writing workshops, it just like rewoke that love for creative writing. And so I would just do it in my own time for fun, just like, you know, I wasn't showing anyone my work or anything like that. And then when lockdown hit, I was like, okay, I need a project, A, to keep me busy, but also I kind of want to give back and I didn't know how to do that in a safe way. So I thought, okay, I'll start an Instagram page. And the intention on my Instagram page was actually to be a health and fitness page. So health and fitness is something I'm also really passionate about. I started the page with the intention of it being a way to motivate people to stay fit and healthy during lockdown. But at the same time, during lockdown, because I had a lot more time, I just ended up doing a lot more writing. And then I ended up sharing some of my poems online. And now my whole Instagram page has become basically a poetry page. If you had said to me on March 12th, the day before I stopped going to work, whatever, that I would be sharing my poetry on Instagram with strangers, I would have been like, you're out of your mind. There's no way that's happening.
But then why did you feel like you had to stop doing English literature from such a young age? Why did you feel like you had to go into the more mathsy sides? Because I feel like a lot of South Asian people do. We don't really, as a community, pursue creative writing as much as we want to. I think we always try and go into the maths, and then the stereotype is that, oh, Indian people are so good at maths. Why do you think that South Asians as a community don't really encourage creative writing?
That is such a good question. It's something I'm really passionate about. I really think, you know, creative writing is something that's, like you said, not encouraged in South Asian communities. Just looking at my family, you know, between me and my husband, we have over 50 first cousins. We've got two big families, right? These are all people within our generation who have had access to really good education. And they're all smart people. They're all in good careers now. They've had every opportunity to pursue careers they want. And not a single one of them is a writer. And it's not because of a lack of ability. It's just because I feel like it's something, like you said, it's not encouraged in our community. And I think it goes back to in our communities where our parents have gone through struggles. And so what they want for their children is stability. And for them, stability is a monthly paycheck, very secure and predictable job. And those jobs tend to be, you know, accounting, doctors, lawyers, corporate jobs that have a straight path, you know, university, you do the degree, you get the grad job, and then you're in the secure job. It's that stability that I think our parents' generation wanted for us. For our generation going forward, if we are made aware that these things are available to us to take risks, to do things that we are passionate about, it's something that we can change for the future generations.
I really relate to that because I have been thinking about it quite a lot. And it's a bit like, why did I go into finance? And I feel like it was subconscious, like it was subconsciously conditioned to do it because, like you said, our parents, they worked so hard, like so hard to get to where they are today, to build a solid foundation for us. And I think for me, I was like, well, I can't let them down because all they ever wanted was for me to be educated and to study hard so that, in my dad's words, get a good job. I'm like still studying till this day. I'm in my mid-20s, I'm still studying. That's the thing. And that's what you said, it's stability. And that's what's more important to them. All they want for their children is not to be able to live paycheck to paycheck and have a disposable income and have some savings. So I really respect them for their hustle and like the hard work that they have. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, is that my work ethic has come from my parents because they've worked so incredibly hard to get to where they are today.
Absolutely. I literally really resonate with everything you've said. And I think a lot of people whose parents have immigrated from India, Kenya, wherever, and have come here and worked so hard to provide their children with good home, education, everything. I agree. It's a subconscious thing. When I started to like gravitate more towards maths, it wasn't a conscious decision. It wasn't like, oh yeah, like I, you know, hate English and now I want to be a mathematician. Nothing like that. It was very gradual and very subconscious. And also I feel like I just fit better into that box. It made more sense to society for me to be in that box. And so I just felt more comfortable in that box of going down that path. I totally understand and respect the reasons why our parents would have wanted things for us that they did.
Yeah, no, same. I really, really do respect it as well. But then I think it's so nice that you now have your poetry page and I have my podcast and we are able to express ourselves on a platform like so differently. Was poetry and writing always like a creative outlet for you?
It was when I was young, like I'd said before. I still loved reading, particularly fiction books. I just love being in a new world. Like I said, like creative books are my favorite. But I had stopped doing the writing myself. And it's only just come back to me in 2019 where I started doing the workshops. And then, you know, lockdown, obviously, it's been a really tough year for a lot of people, but it has blessed me with a lot of time to myself to pursue things that I love. It's something that I did, and then it's something that I stopped doing, and then it's come back to me again.
That's so true. How was it like when you had to post your first ever poem on your Instagram page? Do you remember that feeling?
I absolutely do. Like, it was a poem about an ex-boyfriend as well. It was about heartbreak. You know what? I don't think people realize, as a writer, how much of you is in your writing and how vulnerable you make yourself when you post your writing for everyone to read. My poetry and me are not two separate things. I am my poetry and my poetry is me. So when I post it, it's my insides being put on Instagram for people to see. I get so nervous every time I post a poem. I'm just like, how are people going to receive this? And the first poem I posted, I was so nervous, but it felt really good to do it.
That's so good. I was the complete opposite when I first started my podcast. I was like, I'm so scared. It's like you said, it's putting yourself out there on a public platform. And I'm like, do I want to do that? And I think it was just like the scariest thing. But I've been able to talk to people like you that I met off Instagram and people that I never, ever thought that I could ever talk to. It's crazy. And I think that's the bit that I love of doing my podcast. I get to connect with people from all over the world. even people in London or like even people in the UK. But then in terms of your poetry and your page and creative writing in general, what kind of topics do you actually focus on?
I don't box myself into any type of topic. Generally, what actually happens is, you know how I said I love my morning walks? So with my morning walks, I have a very specific ritual with them. I leave my phone at home. I leave my wallet at home. My husband is always horrified when I do this. He's like, please take something with you. I'm like, no, I just need like space from everything. I go to my local park, which is 5 minutes from my house. And it's just a normal park, but there's so many trees in that park. And I tend to go for a walk in the morning and it's generally quite quiet there. I don't know what it is, but I think it's the movement, walking, being in nature. I just feel the ideas falling into my mind. I just get so inspired. So the concept will come into my mind first. Then I'll be like, okay, this is how I'd want to write it. And then I'd get a more solid idea of what I want to do. And then I write, first I write by pen and paper. Then I'll type on my computer. And each time I write it, I'm editing a poem. But I don't have a specific topics that I focus on. It's just whatever kind of inspires me in that moment on that day that will fall through my mind. A lot of my work is about women, and I don't like to use the word feminist because I don't want to be boxed into that category of being a feminist poet. I'd like to talk about everything. I've even written, you know, poetry about toxic masculinity. I've written poems about staycations and going to the beach. Whatever I'm inspired by, basically.
I love that. I love the fact that you don't box yourself in and it's kind of like whatever inspires you. And I think that's quite nice because it shows you as you. And it's like yourself is coming out in your poetry because you're not boxing yourself in. People like putting us in boxes, but we're more than the box. I feel like we all have different sides to us that so many people can see because we're interested in so many different things. So it's so hard to even put someone in a box. So I'm so glad that you're doing that with like your writing. And then the other thing that I actually really wanted to talk to you about was I very recently got into journaling and I saw your video on your page around journaling. And I just wanted to know like how journaling has helped you as a person.
So journaling is a big part of my life. So in 2019, I made a New Year's resolution of keeping a journal every single day. And the reason I did this is because I was really struggling. There were several things going on in my life. Like I had problems with my job, personal life, friendship, relationships. There's just a lot of things piling up. And I just felt myself being really down all the time. I didn't feel super comfortable always talking to people about everything. But I knew that I needed an outlet to understand my emotions and kind of release them in a healthy way. So, you know, I dabbled with journaling and messed around with it in 2018, very inconsistently. And then in 2019, I was like, you know what? This is the most simple thing. It's writing in a book every day. You know, I've got to give this a proper go and see if it actually makes a difference. So it started off very basic. I'd just be like, oh, this is what I did today. This is how I felt, blah, blah, blah. In the beginning, I actually found it quite tedious. I was just like, this is so boring. Why am I doing this? But over time, it became one of the most insightful things I've ever done. I just started to realize like behavioral patterns in myself. So this is an example I gave in that video. I come home from work and I'd have a go at my husband about something, you know, maybe he left his sock on the floor. I don't know. I'd have a fight with him. And in my head, I'd be like, oh, he's the problem. He's the one that's annoying me. And then actually through journaling, I see a pattern like, oh, something at work made me feel insecure. And I felt annoyed in that moment or whatever. And then I'd go home and take it out on my husband. I started to see the pattern of this happening. And I was like, wow, it makes me realize that actually what makes me feel sad, angry, or what makes me happy. It was really insightful. I really didn't realize these different things about myself. So when I started to learn my own patterns or what triggers me off in a certain way, I could then take control of a situation. So for example, if something had made me feel insecure at work, instead of going home and taking it out on someone else, I'd go for a walk or do a workout or come home and write it down. One thing I love doing if I'm walking and there's no one around is just talking out the problem to myself as well.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
It's just really, it really helps to just have a conversation with myself. And then I'll come home and I'll write it down. So it just became very useful information. Like, it really helped me. It's made me feel a lot better about myself in myself. I've said this before because it's the simplest thing. You just come home and write and it takes 10 minutes of your time, if that. It's no pressure on resource or, you know, your time. And so I think it's something that everyone should do.
I think it really just helps you become more self-aware as well. Because I was like you, like I started doing it then I was like, I can't be bothered to like write every single day. Even if it's 10 minutes, I can spend 10 minutes on Instagram on my phone, but I can't spend 10 minutes writing down how I feel for that day. It is a mindset shift. I think the reason why I wasn't doing it was because I didn't really want to write it down. Like I didn't want to actually think about it, because a lot of times like you kind of suppress that emotion. And that's what kind of like what I used to do in the past, but not anymore. And now I'm like, okay, I need to write this down because I will forget and I don't want to feel like that again. I constantly talk to myself when I have a problem and I keep asking myself why. I think doing finance and stuff, I have helped become quite a problem solver. I'm like, okay, so what's the solution? What can I do? And like actually talking it out in my brain and then writing it out has really helped me. But if there's anyone out there who's a bit of a rookie that really wants to get into journaling, what advice would you give them?
So what you just said is really interesting about, you know, the emotions being quite painful, and that's probably why we avoid it. And it's so much easier to spend that time on Instagram or TV or whatever and avoid our problems. For someone who starts off, you might find that diving into your feelings is really painful and you don't enjoy it. But I would say persevere. We're not used to acknowledging our problems or our feelings or our pain. And so at first it feels very strange. But after a while, when you get used to giving yourself that time and space to express yourself, it'll become so much more easier and it'll flow a lot better. And whenever I make a promise to myself, I never break a promise.
Me too. Yes.
Yeah. I have to very specifically say the words, I promise myself. Like otherwise it doesn't count.
You got pinky promise yourself. Yeah, you got to do the fingers.
Absolutely, yeah. When you promise yourself something, you know, you can't break a promise to yourself.
No, definitely. The one thing that I really wanted to say was like, you know, going back, I remember when I was in school, I feel like we kind of did English. I was actually better at English than I was at maths. And it's really weird because I do feel like the school curriculum doesn't really encourage creative writing. And I don't know if you feel the same way.
I agree. I don't think my experience through the school system encouraged my creative writing. I also feel like it was a lack of material that I found relatable and interesting. So if I had had the likes of Rupi Kaur on my curriculum, maybe I would have been more inspired to continue to write. You know, it's the whole thing about representation, seeing...
Yes.
All the writers that we read books of were generally white people.
Yeah, like Sylvia Plath and Charles Dickens.
Exactly. There was such a lack of representation on the curriculum. And I know that's changing and there has been more awareness of it. You know, you've got people like Daljeet Nagra that's now on curriculums and things like that, which is amazing. I think it was the lack of material that I could connect to. And so it just felt very inaccessible to me as a brown woman.
I think that's really, really true as well. I do feel like there's so many like South Asian people who are so creative. Over lockdown, I think so many people have started that creative side hustle. And it's so nice to see people have that passion project and thriving. Growing up, I was a really creative kid that I loved arts and crafts and like Art Attack and Smart. I remember we were talking about this and you were like, everyone is creative and it's like the little things that make us creative. And I really that resonated with that because I'm like, that's kind of true. I think we all have creativity in us. It's just how we kind of unleash it, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I do believe that humans are just creative beings and the way we express that creativity is different for every single person. I think people make the mistake of believing they are not creative. And I actually believe that about myself for a long time. I just...
Really?
Yeah. People are surprised when they hear it now. But when I was, you know, in school, I just believed that I wasn't good at drawing. I wasn't good at art. And for me, that was creativity. Art, music, etc. And those are not things that I was good at. So I just believed for the longest time that I was not creative. And that's a really sad thing to believe about yourself, because now I think that every single person is creative and the way we express our creativity will be different, whether it be through writing, art, music, dance, or just finding a new way of making something at your workplace more efficient. Everyone's going to have a different way of expressing their creativity.
That's so true, you know, because like creative is basically thinking outside the box. Like that's what it means to me. It's another way of thinking. And I think it's so true that like, creativity is also be put into a box of is singing, performing arts, writing, this, that, and other, but it isn't. If you're techie, you can still be creative because you're thinking of like another way to code or you're thinking of a solution to a problem. And I think what you said is so true. I love that because that is something that I never realized until now.
There's a TED talk by Ken Robinson and he explains it really, really well. He's like, we don't have enough creativity in our schools. We don't need to increase creativity in our schools with the intention of producing more artists or more whatever. Being creative benefits every single person in every single field, in every single job. it will just benefit society overall if we have more access to our creativity.
Definitely. The other thing that we were talking about the other day was purpose. And I remember you put something on your Instagram story around purpose. And I know it's something that you've been thinking about quite a lot.
So purpose is something that it plagues my mind quite a lot. I used to really believe that each person had a special magical purpose. And unless you were living that purpose, you wouldn't be fulfilled. And so I had to find my purpose, and it was a matter of desperation. And it drove me actually really insane. Like, I just feel so stressed out about whether I was being purposeful or not. And now I've kind of changed my mind about purpose. I think purpose is just, how do we add value to our lives? And it's not, you know, we need to desperately find our purpose or we'll be living a miserable life for the rest of our lives. It's just kind of like, what makes us happy?
Yeah, I do believe that too. I think sometimes we overthink purpose so much. And I guess it's because it's another term that's been thrown around now so commercially. Finding your passion and finding your purpose, like, you can't exist without that stuff. But realistically, I do feel like everyone kind of has a purpose, but your purpose might not be big. Your purpose can also be quite small.
Absolutely. Like, I think that whole concept of big and small is a very like human ego driven type of thing. I met this lady and she was just so happy. She was older. She had a grandchild and very confidently said, my purpose is my family. They are what I live for. And my whole life is dedicated to my family. And she was so peaceful in that realization. We could call that a small purpose, but actually for her, it filled her whole life. So it wasn't small. It was big and she was living it and she was so present for her family. That's another thing that we need to kind of let go of. And I'm still working towards, you know, letting go of that concept of big and small because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we kind of make it up in our heads a lot as well. And I don't know if you agree with this, but I do think a lot of it is because we've become such an instantaneous society and the number of likes and the number of followers, it's become more quantity driven than quality driven, especially your online life. And I know that, like, for example, a lot of people's mental health have suffered from it. When someone posts a picture and it doesn't get a lot of likes, you're like, oh, am I not popular? And before, we didn't have that. It's weird. Like, it's such a weird one. The reason why I think it's so big and small is because we have access to so many more people than people did, like, I don't know, 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I've not thought about it in that way. But you're right. We all know how social media can affect mental health. There's a lot of awareness about the way that social media is changing the way that we perceive ourselves, which is a problem. And it probably does add to the pressure of living this perfect life. You know, I always think about Instagram. We think about Instagram as filtered photos, but actually Instagram in its whole is a filtered version of life. Every single photo, every single profile on Instagram, mine included, is a filtered version of my life. You know, we're looking at the world through this lens, which doesn't encompass the entirety of the world. And we're comparing our lives to it. And so it can become really, you know, difficult.
I completely agree. I think that's so true. Like, I know a lot of people who have Instagram and they treat Instagram like a photo album because realistically, no one prints out photos and sticks them in an album like they did that 20 years ago. Although I wish they did because I love like picking albums out and seeing my baby pictures and I think it's really cute. But yeah, we don't do that anymore. And I think for me, I think a lot of people, Instagram has become that photo album. But then I don't go through an old photo album and be like, that was my life, because that's just highlights of my life. That's like my first steps or my first birthday. But you're missing 364 other days of my life where, you know, I was probably a really annoying child, like running around crying. But you don't picture stuff like that, right? I think that's the problem, is the fact that I don't really want to call it a rat race, but it is a little bit like a rat race when it comes to social media in terms of growing and constantly growing. And like, I don't know. That was just a thought that came into my head.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, like, when you look back at your own photo album, you're looking back with the awareness that this was my life. When we're peering into someone else's photo album, and on Instagram, it's like, you know, very much in your face all the time available, you can get the impression that someone is living a perfect life, when in reality, no life is perfect because they're just humans and humans go through ups and downs in their life. And that's completely fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like the older generation, let's say our parents or our grandparents and stuff like that, do you feel like they knew their purpose?
I feel like our parents' generation never had the privilege to question whether they were living a purposeful life or a fulfilled life. Their lives were geared towards survival, really. And they've actually allowed us the privilege to sit here and question, am I happy? What's my passion? What career do I want? You know, I asked my mom the other day, like, why did you have kids? And she was like, I don't know. I just did, because that's what you do. You get married and you have kids. And that was the expectation of life. I never questioned whether I wanted to have kids. I never questioned whether I didn't want to have kids. I just assumed I'd be having kids and that was it. But in our generation, I feel like we do have that luxury of saying, is this what I want? Is this what I don't want? And why do I want it or why do I not want it? And understanding your reasons for taking a massive life step. And so it's the same way with purpose and careers. Like, you know, I don't think my dad ever sat down and questioned, is this my passion? Am I living my passion? I'm working because my family needs me to work. Whereas our situation is completely different. And we have been totally been given the luxury of questioning our lives because of the sacrifices our parents made.
That's really, really, really true. Yeah, I'm just like so grateful for like everything my parents have done for me, because it hasn't been easy on them. And it's like, I think sometimes we forget the sacrifices that they have actually made, and you'll hear the stories and stuff. Like my grandma always had to tell me stories about like how life was like in like the 60s and 70s. She'll tell me, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but apparently there used to be public baths. They used to all have to like pay a shilling and like have a public bath. And the place that's like now my local Tesco used to be a bath. Like she says this to me all the time. Every single time we go to Tesco, she's like, this used to be a bath, you know? And I was like, what?
I did not know that. That's amazing.
That's so cool, isn't it? And I love hearing stories like that. But Shivani, thank you. I've learned so much from you and I've loved this chat as well. And what I normally do to end things off is I always do like a little bit of like a quick fire round, just something fun to like wrap up the episode. So are you ready?
I'm ready, yes.
So first question is, if you were stranded on a tropical island, what are the two things that you'll take with you?
Oh, that's so easy. I'm going to take my journal and a pen.
What is the first thing you notice about someone when you first meet them?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say the way they speak, so the voice that they're using.
What was your favorite book growing up?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I was obsessed with the Harry Potters. Yeah, I have to say Harry Potters when I was growing up.
What compliment do people give you the most?
I get told I have nice legs quite often. Thanks to my dad for the genetics, I'm going to say.
Do you know one that I get that I didn't realize, but people have started saying this to me recently, is like they think I'm funny. And I'm like,
you are really funny.
I'm not funny. Okay, I'm going to take it. I'm funny.
Take it.
Growing up, I never thought I was funny. Like, I was just like, I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to take it. The next one is sweet food or savory food?
Oh, sweet food, 100%.
Oh my God, yes. What's your favorite dessert?
Chocolate cake.
Or chocolate brownies, but similar. Chocolate.
Anything chocolate.
What is your favorite fashion accessory?
I am not a fashion person. I have a necklace that I'm not actually wearing right now. It's just a very simple like pendant that my husband gave me for our first wedding anniversary. And I love that.
Oh, so cute. Hollywood or Bollywood?
Bollywood.
Favorite Bollywood movie?
Shole. Classic.
Classic. And finally, cats or dogs?
Dogs. Oh, no, both. I love dogs and cats.
Do you know what? I think so many people have started getting dogs recently. And I'm like, I want a dog, but I don't think, apparently I'm not allowed a dog until I get my own place. I just want to say thank you so much, Shivani, for coming on. And I've loved chatting to you and I've loved our conversation. I really, really can't wait for the rest of your writing as well. And I keep my eye out every single time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been literally so much fun. I don't even know where the time has gone.
I know.
And I love your page too. And your podcasts are also really awesome. So thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. I really hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you ever want to share your thoughts on the episode, then please do on social media. You can tweet me at Pretty Personal or send me a DM through Instagram. And again, that's at Pretty Personal. Or if you're old school, you can always email me at itspertypersonal@gmail.com. Honestly, I love reading emails. I feel so accomplished when I get an email from one of you guys and I'm like, yo, I've actually made it. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast as I do release new episodes every single Tuesday. So I guess I'll speak to you next week. Take care. Bye.